This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk to you about some of the conclusions of the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature starts out at a very basic platform, and it progresses to an extremely confidential level. We discussed before some of the information known as confidential knowledge and the most confidential knowledge. And it describes a variety of aspects from our real predicament as a living entity in a temporary body, as being residents of the material world, which is a temporary place, and our eternal position in the spiritual world that we are actually seeking to recover, because there lies eternal happiness, knowledge, and realization. So in the Vedic knowledge, the description is given by the Lord himself. Lord Sri Krishna is delineating the information personally in the Vedic literature. It's not compiled in a random form. It's actually the Lord speaking. And that is what and why Bhagavad Gita, as it is, has such an astonishing place in the history of mankind. Because this discussion between the Lord and his servant, who is in a predicament and approaches the Lord for guidance, and the Lord kindly responds. So Krishna tells his servant Arjuna of his predicament, his situation, the structural relationships, the influence of time, the influence of activities, karma, the importance of a spiritual master, the host of information, and it culminates in some conclusions. Now, generally speaking, particularly at this particular age, people find it difficult to get to the end of the book, because there's so much knowledge. It's so absolute. Everything about life, about consciousness, everything about activities and time are all covered as we go progressively through the book. And it becomes kind of daunting because most people are living in such an illusion. They're living in such a misconception, a narrative. Everybody's been born into a controlled human society that is preaching and propagating its own narrative of what matters. And this tends to dominate the thinking of all humans, because we're, initiated into life. As soon as we come out of the womb, there's a host of expectations that are imposed upon you. We've discussed before on our show how everybody's a meat eater, but nobody actually sat down and said, should I eat meat or should I not? How should I live this life? Should I be a vegetarian? Should I be a meat eater? No, it was put in front of you and you accepted what was put in front of you. You're expected to do this, you're expected to do that. And that's the status of the human society. There's been a perception management going on. So when one hears spiritual knowledge and hears Krishna's point of view, God's point of view of what's happening to you and why, and what are the influences around you and what to make of them, it's daunting. Because it's quite different. The narrative that's induced by man is for self-interest, is for control mechanisms. And the explanation delineated by God is for the upliftment and liberation and purification of you as a living entity. It is for your benefit. Now, they try to say this, that we get this now and with all the tyrannical governments we have. For your security, for your safety, we're taking away all your freedom. We're patting you down at the airport for your safety. No, excuse me, don't touch me. Safety is if you don't touch me. So the situation is, one is an illusory conception imposed upon people, and the other is the actual perspective explained by the Lord. So this is our position. We are in a place of choice. Our position is we have free will, even though it's not absolute, but we have some small percentage of free will. And we all know and we can all see that God never takes your free will away. You are always endowed with the free will and choice at any moment. It's limited, but it's there. And the people, the controllers of the planet, they want to see that you surrender that to them and they control you. They sell you things. They make you a consumer. They make you accept their standards, their perceptions, their values, their PC standards. And by regulating the perceptions, it means that they can operate outside of those perceptions. And everybody will say, nah, they wouldn't do that. They can't do that. It isn't possible. So they're able to keep you within one concept of what's possible, while they're operating in another concept of what's possible and literally harvesting you. And this is what's happening. We're being harvested. You go to work and make your money and you spend it all before the week is out. You have to go back to work again. It's a cycle you're caught in. But the people at the top are reaping all of these returns. I can remember over the last two decades or so how all these foreign countries came into this country and started owning the infrastructure. So when you pay your phone bill or you pay your power bill, all the money actually leaves the country. We work to produce the value, and we pay that into corporates, and the corporates extracted overseas, exchange rated out. So our worth isn't staying in the country and making the country more vibrant and viable. We have problems. I was listening to a show before this one saying how, oh, we've got this sports center, but it's costing the city so much they can hardly afford to keep it open. It's just such a burden on the people of the city, the center. They said, oh, we have to have it. So we don't have the opulence that would be achieved by the hard work and labor of the citizens, because corporates are exploiting it and exporting it. So our narrative is taking us to one of forced surrender and perceptions. And the Lord is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to understand your true position and delineate upon that and decide which are you going to do with your free will. Now, the essence of Vedic literature, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, is that you need to surrender to a higher authority. Not the guys that run the power company, higher authority. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, surrender because he has your interest at heart. The power company doesn't. The phone company doesn't. The government doesn't. The schools don't. The universities don't. I was talking to a student the other day, and they were saying how they just want to make sure you don't fail out so that you become a credit to them in getting funding so their school is maintained nicely. They don't care if you actually understand. They don't care if you're proficient in the subject they're supposed to be teaching you. That isn't their focus any longer. So everything in the material world is on that platform, and the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is on the real platform, the eternal platform of knowledge and realization, and how to act in such a way to free yourself from the temporary tabernacle of the material world. So he says that it's a surrender. When you understand the confidential knowledge that the Lord is accompanying you in the heart as the supersoul and witnessing everything you think, do, will, etc., and is giving you karmic reaction fair and opposite for the quality of your deeds, then you recognize that if I can take instruction from my intuition, I'm hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in my heart. And if I follow the instructions of the Lord, he has my best interest in mind. And if I dovetail my independence with his guidance, I'm guaranteed success. So it becomes that in all aspects, if one surrenders to the transcendental Lord, he attains the highest platform. And because the Lord is the dear friend of the living entities, and he is wishes well for everyone and supports everyone, all the material tabernacle is here for the support of you and I as living entities in these multiple types of bodies. So he speaks the Bhagavad Gita, which he describes as the most confidential part of knowledge that is being spoken to you for your benefit. Now he says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. You will come to me without fail, and I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And this is for every single one of us to understand. What can you achieve with your degree of independence? You can't even overcome this ridiculous government. You can't even overcome this perception of I have to go to work and maintain a job to pay a debt that's on a computer screen where they're jacking up the interest faster than I can pay off the principal. It's a trap, and there aren't options, and people get so discouraged. But on the other hand, if you surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes and is the controller of everything and is in the heart of every living entity and has the capacity to award you and reward you justly, success is guaranteed. Freedom from contamination, freedom from illusion, freedom from anxiety are all guaranteed. So this is the bottom line. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator and mold your life in such a way where you can't think of God. You're constantly thinking of things or money or sex or games, toys, illusion. One should act in such a way that all of his daily activities are in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called dovetailing. All your daily activities, arrange your entire life such that throughout the 24 hours of the day, you can't help but think of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. So the Lord says he promises that anyone who is in such a pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the spiritual world back to home. So there, one gets the association of the Lord face to face. Right now, he's accompanying you in your heart through his plenary expansion of the super soul, and he's quiet. If you don't want him to speak, he won't. If you're willing to listen, he will. The relationship can be there. But if you purify yourself and follow his instructions to surrender, you return to the spiritual world where the relationship is face to face. So this is the promise, the guarantee by the Lord himself to anyone who steps forward and sincerely tries to advance his consciousness out of the narrative, out of the trap of this is as good as it gets. And this surrender, one gets engaged in service directly face to face with the Lord. And this was spoken to Arjuna for our benefit, his benefit and our benefit. Because the Lord is the most dear friend of the living entities. He has a compassionate heart. He has a compassionate disposition. And he's constantly trying to lift you or I or anyone else to the surrender platform. Because of the surrender platform, you can obtain all perfection. From the material platform, it's struggle for existence. And people are trying not to admit that. They're trying not to admit that I'm suffering. They're trying to have one little bit of enjoyment come in and then stack another one in behind it and another in as rapid a succession as possible so they can say, great, had a good day. But they're not looking at the heart and they're not feeling within how I'm not happy, I'm not fulfilled. I have anxieties and problems cropping up that I'm not causing and I want them to go away and I can't make them go away. I have to address the issues as opposed to being happy. Sometimes people have a dog and the dog is a very playful dog, but they don't play with it because their mind is so wrapped up in crap that they don't have the freedom of focus, the freedom of heart to actually be as free as the dog is and play and be happy and enjoy their life. Because they're so absorbed in the difficulties that life deals them. So we have to rise above this level of misconception and wake to our true nature, which is blissful, happy. That's what we really are. And we need to get free from the misconceptions, free from the attacks of the illusory energy. If you don't follow dovetailing your desires, your abilities, your propensities with the service of the Lord, you will be caught up by the superior forces of nature where you will enjoy sometimes and you will suffer the rest. So it's a surrender or rebel situation. If you surrender, it's your best interest. And the Bhagavad Gita was spoken so you understand that in every detail. And as I said, some people can't cope with so many details. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how complete the information was that the Lord was giving to a living entity like you and I for our upliftment. I'm not ready to see my whole life differently. I'm not ready to see myself as an eternal living entity in a temporary body. Because I'm all attached to all of this stuff around this body. The friends, the family, the association, the place, the work, the people, the playthings, everything is all attached to my bodily perspective of life. But from a spiritual point of view, I'm an eternal part and parcel of God. I'm an eternal servant of God. I'm supposed to revive my lost Krishna consciousness. Because in the spiritual world, everyone is Krishna conscious, and the suffering is missing, absent. So the Lord comes personally and sends his representative to advise you of the teachings in the Bhagavad Gita and let you learn. Read it, study it, consider it, deliberate on what is right, and hopefully surrender. And stop trying to enjoy the material world. I want to start enjoying serving you. So the Vedic literature puts devotional service at the top most platform. That platform of service and surrender leads to the top most perfection of life. It is the cause of happiness. It's freedom from lamentation. And if one studies the Gita, and he sees this as the highest religious principle to surrender and dovetail your independence, your free will, with the plan of the Lord. So this is the prescribed process in the Vedic literature, in Bhagavad Gita as it is, by the Lord Krishna personally himself, by the disciplic succession of spiritual masters, the same thing is being taught. That the living entity will be rewarded according to his willingness to surrender. No force. The entire growth, the entire engagement in spiritual life, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual activities is all, always voluntary. You can do it if you wish. You cannot if you wish. There is no force. So the Lord tries to educate you, inform you, advise you, sends a host of intelligent, realized saints and sages to give you understanding of their own realization and the instructions given in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna for your benefit, so you can wholeheartedly engage in devotional service. That is surrender. That is the topmost platform. That is the perfection of knowledge. This is relief of all material entanglement. And this is what the spiritual master teaches in his books, in his purports. The Bhagavad Gita has a very, very intricate and very complete level of realized purports. Further explanation, clarification of what the Lord is saying from a realized saint. So that you have no mistake, no misgivings. You're not caught in misinterpretation. So this forms the method that a common man can adopt. He can read the Bhagavad Gita. He can read the purports by the realized spiritual master. He can come to the conclusion and understand the conclusion that's being presented by the Lord. And he can see the capacity he has with his own free will and his own abilities, with his own strength of spirit, with his own physical capacity. And he can understand how limited he is, but how absolute his heart, his true nature, really is behind the scene. The scene is the body. The body forms a curtain where the living entity is smothered to a certain degree by the density of the body he has on. And the Vedic literature clears the density, cleans the screen, cleans the mirror of the mind. So that the living entity, you and I, the conscious being, we can understand things in proper perspective. We can get above the misconceptions. So this is our great opportunity afforded to us by the Vedic literature because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. So the Lord speaks to everyone, just surrender unto me. Abandon all other varieties of religion, of practices, of economic development, of study. Abandon it all. Read the Bhagavad Gita, understand your eternal relationship with me, and act in that mentality. We are acting in selfish mentality. In fact, that's a very interesting subject in itself, how absolutely, unbelievably selfish everybody is getting. It's gotten to be, it's a complete disease. It's an epidemic of selfishness that is dominating the human society. And it's being flamed by the criminal media and the criminal leaders of society. They have an alternative purpose. They don't have your best interest in mind. They have their own plan of exploiting us all. And they're making criminal acts legal so that you can't stop them from doing it to you. And they're saying your freedoms are given by them when they're actually given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your independence comes with you. It's given by God. It's not a legal issue. It's not a governmental award. And they're trying to convince you the opposite. So that you won't bother, you won't cause any problems, you won't make any waves, you won't try to live an independent, happy life. You'll live a subordinate life where they're harvesting you. They're simply harvesting your life force energy. They're harvesting your duration of life. Because by the time you get free and you have independence and you own what you want to own, you'll be so old you can't enjoy it. Yet everybody's living life to enjoy. So it's a system that's meant to frustrate you and keep you from getting the result you're looking for. And the Lord says, this is the condition of the material world the humans have imposed upon themselves and each other. And it's not His plan for you. He is benevolently, through His causeless mercy, trying to guide you out of here. We see no one lives forever. And so we understand that this is finite. So what is the right thing to do at the time of death? That is given in Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is not given in any school, university, governmental institution, or organization. It is not given by anybody. It's not given by most of the Western religions. They just go, oh, you're dead, bury him. Absolutely not. The eternal living entity moves on. Just like you go to bed and you wake up the next day, you know you're not dead because you wake up in your own bed, in your own home, in the same circumstance, and everything is fully familiar. Well, at death, you just wake up in the next body. You just move to the next one. It's just a sleeping, awaking transition, just like going to bed and waking up, but no one teaches you that. So you're not prepared to make best use of that transition. The Vedic knowledge teaches you in minute detail how to reach absolute perfection at the end of this life. Go back home, back to Godhead, and eternally live in peace, face to face with the Supreme Lord, rendering loving service, exchanging affection, exchanging concern and consideration to each other. That is knowledge. That is real life. That is what we're all looking for. Reject this temporary world. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let Him put things together. Chalk out a path, a straight line path for you. Back home, back to Godhead. Engaged in devotional service eternally. That's the message in Bhagavad Gita.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.